Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode of Politics Without the Boring Bits is sponsored by BT, because BT means business. BT knows that businesses come in many shapes, sizes, and guises, from the person just starting out at their kitchen table to the biggest employer, which is why no matter what line of work you're in, they've got your back to help you succeed and do what you do best. No doubt connectivity is a must in Westminster, and it certainly helped us to get this episode created and distributed to you listening right now. BT already connects more than 1 million businesses and public sector organisations, offering secure and reliable connectivity. Nearly three quarters of people running a business or side hustle feel they couldn't do so without reliable broadband and mobile connectivity. That's why having connectivity you can count on is a must for business, whether it be facilitating multiple devices being connected at once or making team calls or guest Wi-Fi access for customers. BT's connectivity helps keep you and your customers happy. Whatever your business, BT's got your back. Search BT's got your back.
Hello and welcome to the Red Box Politics podcast in the Times. I'm Matt Chorley. This is the last of our summer specials before MPs return to the Commons. Before we get stuck into our buffet of political trivia, a reminder that tickets are now on sale for two live recordings of the podcast. Come and join us in Liverpool at the Hard Day's Night Hotel on Sunday, September the 23rd, when we'll be asking, have we reached peak Corbyn? And then we'll be at the Electric Cinema in Birmingham on Monday, October the 1st, asking, will the Tories survive and should they? For more details, and to buy tickets, Times subscribers just need to go to mytimesplus.co.uk, and we look forward to seeing you. Right, back to this week's episode. If you sometimes think politics seems too trivial, this might not be for you. I've assembled three of the biggest brains filled with useful and useless facts about politics, but only one can emerge victorious. I'm joined by Patrick Kidd, the Times sketchwriter and diary editor, Mark Mason, author, quizzer and friend of Red Box, and making our podcast debut, new Red Box reporter Esther Webber. Welcome to you all. So this is how it's going to work. Each one of you has written 10 political trivia questions which you know the answer to, but hope the other two don't. If you do know the answer, shout out your name, because we don't have buzzers. You'll take it in turns to test each other. If someone gets the answer, they get a point. If not, the question setter gets a point. I'll award bonus points for added knowledge along the way. It will seem much more straightforward once we get going. So I haven't got a three-sided coin to toss, so let's just start with you, Esther. What is your first trivia question?
I would like to know if you can name the MP and the peer who have received the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Mark. The peer, I think.
Okay.
Is it Bertrand Russell?
Yeah.
Ooh. Very good.
And Patrick, it would be Winston Churchill.
Yes.
Very good. So what, is that a half each? That's a half each, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a half each, just to start the scores off in a complicated way. Right, Mark, what's your first question?
I'm going to go with the tiebreaker, so actually you're both allowed to answer, and the nearest wins. Oh. Nigel Farage has a self-imposed rule that he won't appear on TV after drinking more than a certain number of pints. What is that number of pints?
I'm going to say six.
Patrick?
I'll go a little lower. Five?
Oh, Patrick gets it on the money. It's five pints.
Very good.
He's a professional.
So the answer is, if we just biked five pints around to his house every morning, he would never be on the telly again.
There you go.
Well, there's a solution. Patrick, what's yours?
My first one. What has been banned in the Chamber of the Commons since March the 23rd, 1694?
Mark, that's smoking.
It is.
Smoke? When?
1694?
Yeah. Wow,
which is why
good.
They have snuff. You know, yes.
The doorkeeper keeps a box of snuff.
You know, Tom Brake wants to stop it.
Oh.
Tom Brake has said that it's ridiculous that they're still allowed to have snuff. But yeah, MPs are allowed a little free bit of snuff.
Well, you're going to get another one for that, because that's a good Go on.
To replace, to compensate them for not being allowed to smoke.
And it's provided that the doorkeeper's expense, but so few want it that it costs about £2 a year to keep them in snuff.
Patrick, you can have another one for that as well. It's what the doorkeepers pay for it.
Yeah, but it's about £2 a year. And what they do, they get their name engraved on the box of snuff. I think there's 14 doorkeepers. You've got the, so for £2 a year, you actually...
This is well a great thing about Trivia. It's a very social thing. You see, I knew all of it up until that last point that Patrick mentioned about the names. It's a very, very social animal, Trivia. It makes you, you know, bond.
Right, let's bond some more. Patrick, what's your first question?
Are we going to go back this way? Okay.
Oh, no. You've just done one, haven't you? Let's go. I've already lost control.
no, Jeremy Paxman.
Which three sitting parliamentarians have acted in soap operas? And for bonus points, which are the soap operas?
Everyone's done Coronation Street. It's like Ian McKellen and everyone. Is Coronation Street one of them?
It is.
Oh, Tracy Patrick, Tracy Braben, Flatley and Spence. She was Coronation Street.
I think at half each.
That's the only one that I knew. I've just realised I can't join in. I'm basically redundant.
Giles Watling for Clacton. Does Bread count as a soap opera?
Oh, I didn't have that down.
I think he might have been in Collie at some point.
It's a sitcom, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're more kind of household name.
Were they regular? Did they appear regularly?
Oh, they did do.
Or cameos?
They have all appeared regularly.
And this MPs or peers as well?
Well, I said parliamentarians.
It could be peers.
Oh, Michael Cashman.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. I think the other one might be the Sticky Wicket.
Okay.
Is the Bishop of Leeds actually Eddie Grundy?
Yeah, is it somebody who's in the Archers or something of a school? Crossroads?
No.
A guy named Tim Bentinck is... he's not a member of the House of Lords anymore.
He's a hereditary peer.
Yes, but he was thrown out, wasn't
it's
he?
It's an international soap opera, shall we say.
Neighbours.
The other one.
Home and Away?
Yeah.
Somebody was in Home and Away. I mean, you're going to get a point for this, Esther.
You mean British parliamentarian, yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
I think...
Give up?
Yeah, let's give up.
It's Deirdre Brock of the SNP.
Wow, that's very good.
What was she doing in Home and Away?
You could have a round of applause for that one. There we are.
Thanks.
It's quite a long round of applause, that one. That is. What was she doing in Home and Away?
She was an actress in a previous life. She was in several.
Now I've just checked.
Films.
Giles Watling was in one episode of Crossroads.
Oh well, give me a point.
So I think you can have one for that. And Upstairs, Downstairs, and Bread, and A Lower Low, and Grange Hill.
And
Clacton really has
his most recent thing, according to his Wikipedia filmography section. Was he appeared in Run for Your Wife in 2012, playing, there's a film, playing the central role of Man in Pub. It was not long after that he became a Tory MP. Mark, I think it's your go.
I'm going to go intellectual now. Ooh. And it's about the classic, it's about the Greeks, so I'd be really ready to jump in quickly, Esther, because I think Patrick might be here with this one.
Just the word, shout your name and then just guess on.
Yes. The word sophology, meaning the study of elections, comes
from... Hang on, I've just pressed the button as well. I don't know what's going on.
Shall we let the listener have the question first? You could do the question.
At least let him start the question.
It comes from the Greek word sephos, meaning what? Because the Greeks used to vote by dropping them into urns.
Pebbles.
Oh, I think Esther was about to get it.
No. I was actually going to refer to the derivation of the word ballot.
Let's deal with so yes. Pebbles is the right answer.
Yes.
Ballot comes from Venetian elections, city state elections, where you would drop balls into a.
Really?
Into a, some sort of receptacle.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's very good. You can have one for that. So pebbles. So they drop pebbles into.
Yeah,
right.
You had one each, and it's very similar to blackballing these days. No, I think they're all the same colour. It was just an amount of pebbles rather than blackballing being the one blackball.
Very good. Right, yes. Patrick, you're next.
Which Labour Party leader had two grandchildren who became big names in British television in the 1970s and 80s?
Another telly question.
Labour, so we're just going to be Gates. So
read that again.
It?
Which
Labour Party leader had two grandchildren who became big names in British television in the 70s and 80s?
Oh, did they play children in this thing? Were they? Oh, they'd grown up and become adults.
They were grown up.
Because I was going to say, could it be No, I'm mixing up Tony Booth and Cherie Blair.
I think time up on that. Yeah. Patrick.
If I sing you the theme tunes, what the hell? So one of the theme tunes was dum 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 da dum 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 diddle da 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 diddle da.
Does that as well? There's some okay. spiraling deeper into things we don't know.
And the other one didn't actually appear. He created one that goes dum 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 dum.
No,
Blackface,
this is
well,
absolutely terrible.
Well, the themes, as you staggeringly couldn't get, were Murder, She Wrote and Bagpuss.
Do you know what? I was going to say Bagpuss, but I thought I was going to be wrong. So that's 2 points.
Yeah.
For you,
so they are Angela Lansbury.
Of course, George Lansbury.
Yes, George Lansbury was Labour leader, and her cousin, who was also his grandson, Oliver Postgate.
I never
created
that.
A Bagpuss. Oh,
that wow. is a terrific.
That's great.
That is very, very good. Back to you then, Esther.
Well, I had included Paralympians in this as well, but I might just. Actually, no, I'll go the whole hog. Can you name the 4 Olympians and 3 Paralympians who are currently in the House of Lords?
Well, the reason being because I had the same question.
Well, at least let me...
Lord Coe, yeah. Lord Moynihan, yeah. Baroness Grey Thompson, yeah. Baroness Masham of Ilton,
yeah.
who got gold in swimming and also medals in table tennis.
Yeah.
Lord Holmes of Richmond with 15 Paralympic swimming medals, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Ming Campbell, yes. Lord... and Terence Higgins.
Yes, he's the kicker.
And there's also Lord Glen Torren, who retired this year, who got a gold in bobsleigh.
Very good.
But anyway, I'll ditch that
question. All of which would have been very impressive, Patrick, if you weren't reading it out from the piece of paper that you've
so there was no conclusion.
He's lost a question, but I've
lost a question.
Patrick didn't ask.
Yeah, if he'd have asked that before, like,
I've used the Ming Campbell one, but if you say which... former MP represented Great Britain in the 200 metres at the 1964 Olympics. Lots of people say Archer, because there's that famous clip of Archer on the running track at Oxford. But actually, it was Ming Campbell. Yeah.
Fastest white man in the West. Who did Ming Campbell once beat?
Bannister.
No, O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson is the correct answer. Well done. You could have another one for that.
He was the fastest white man on the
planet. Fastest white man on the planet, Ming Campbell. And he once beat, it's towards the end of his running career, he beat a young O.J. Simpson.
But no way. Of those, Ming and Terence Higgins didn't win any medals. The others all won medals.
Yeah. No, the main thing...
Higgins did win a medal at the Commonwealth
Games.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You could have an extra one for that.
Ming and trivia, he was... in my first ever book was about why we're fascinated with trivia, and very fortunately for me, around the same time was when Campbell had to resign as Lib Dem leader because of his sock garters. Do you remember the sock garters?
Yes.
Kevin Maguire in I think the New Statesman rather than the Mirror, had one of his spies had spotted that Ming Campbell's trouser leg had ridden up one day, and he was wearing sock garters to keep his socks up, and that became a thing. And Campbell got very annoyed about it. He said, and he actually used the word trivia. He said, "People, it gets very annoying, all this stuff about the leadership. People keep concentrating on trivia. Someone the other day wrote about what sort of socks I wear." Well, no, they hadn't. They'd written about sock garters. And I think that's a beautiful example of where trivia can actually highlight something important, which is that he was seen as a very old-fashioned leader. He couldn't possibly be a political leader in the 21st century.
You can have one for that sock garter.
Was he the last Lib Dem to get the Order of the Garter?
But there's something about Lib Dems and their lower halves, because Chris Huhne got in trouble during the expenses stuff because he'd bought a trouser press on expenses, which just felt like a very Lib Dem... sort of. It just speaks to Alan Partridge dismantling a trouser press.
It actually was a Corby trouser press.
I think it was a Corby trouser press.
And there was something about Charles Kennedy early. No, I can't remember the exact context. But the punchline was that he, as a young MP, he bested some veteran in debate. And then they looked across and said, "Fancy losing to someone wearing white socks."
of course, the trouser press isn't the biggest thing that's got Chris Huhne into trouble.
I was thinking when I drive in tonight, because I live out in Suffolk, so I drive down the M11 and I go past what I think of as the Chris Huhne speed camera, which is at the bottom of the M11. It narrows down. It's a 50. It's a really tricky one. So I was sort of thinking of him when I drive past that.
I've lost track now of who was asking.
The question for me. Okay, what should we do? Let us do a question about... let's go back a bit, a few decades. Adolf Hitler chose the code name Operation Regenschirm for the bombing of Birmingham because Regenschirm is the German word for which item? It was an item that Neville Chamberlain, whose home city was Birmingham, which is why Hitler chose it, carried to his negotiations with Hitler.
Patrick? Umbrella?
Very good.
Very good.
And I again, that's a stupid little detail, but it really, it's a very, very personal thing that as Hitler was sending the bombers over, he was thinking umbrella. He was thinking very personally of that guy that he'd messed around and then he was bombing his home city.
By the way, this isn't one of the questions, but as I was doing some research for this, it was a guide to the House of Commons written by one of the clerks some years ago, and he had in the introduction a quote that went along, referring to the Parliament as Barry's masterpiece whose windows gleam upon the Thames, or something like that. And they had to cut this out and re-amend the book because they suddenly realised that the quote came from Mein Kampf.
Patrick, you are miles ahead, but you could have another one for that as well.
Let me give you something back with my next question. What thing in Parliament measures 36 foot by 18 foot between April and September, but 24 foot by 14 foot 4 inches from September to April, except when the Queen pops by, when it measures 24 foot by 12
foot? I've got Mark. It's the standard flying above, the flag flying above. When she comes to open, they lower the Union Jack and they put up the Royal Standard.
Yes, so hers is the standard, but why are there two different sizes in spring and summer for the flag?
Oh!
They have a summer flag and a winter flag.
Is it just because it's too windy?
Yes, exactly.
Really?
So they have a smaller flag.
I'll award yourself 1 point.
You can
have a point.
That is beautiful. I've always wanted to find out, famously, the two swords' widths, and slightly more than two swords' widths is the gap between the red lines on the carpet. What do they take as the... Is there an actual width of a sword? Whenever they redo the carpet, do they check it against... I wonder what the actual distance is.
I think it's a myth.
Is it?
Story. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Most of the things that I tell people when I give a tour of Parliament... aren't true, but they, you know, they're good stories.
And my way of getting around pedants at parties is to start talking about St Stephen's Tower. As you actually asked the parliamentary authorities about whether what's now called the Elizabeth Tower, which we all call Big Ben, which always people used to say, no, it's called St Stephen's Tower. Parliament don't actually know which is St Stephen's Tower. Some records have it as the, you know, the big air conditioning chimney halfway between Big Ben and Central Lobby.
Yeah.
Some people say it's the tower above Central Lobby. So there is no actual official definition of where St Stephen's Tower is.
No wonder the country's going to the dogs.
You think Brexit's a mess, wow.
I think it's back to you, Esther.
Oh,
isn't it?
Yes, hang on.
I just asked that question, didn't I?
No, because I just asked
the flag. Oh, you asked the flag question, sorry, yeah.
What was the name of the suffragette who stamped a Bill of Rights to the wall in St Stephen's Hall and subsequently, became the first suffragette to go on hunger strike?
Mark, I think it's Emily Davison, isn't it?
No.
She was the one who hid in the cupboard. Oh,
yeah.
She was, I'm mixing up the story. She hid in the chapel, didn't
she?
Yeah.
Why not? Because I'm just going to be guessing. Sorry, Millicent Fawcett?
Nope.
So that's a point for you, Esther. What's the right answer?
Marion Wallace Dunlop.
I did like the fact that St Mary Undercroft, the chapel that Davison famously hid in on the night of the census, so that she could record her address as being Parliament, but she couldn't vote for Parliament. That was the same chapel that Thatcher's body spent its final night in. And yes. I love the fact that Thatcher would never have been an MP were it not for people like Davison doing all that a few decades before.
And it was Tony Benn and... Jeremy Corbyn who broke in one night and put the plaque up in this store cupboard, which marks where Davison spent the night. Yeah. Mark.
Okay, let's do... I have a feeling that Patrick knows this one, but then that could be true of any question, actually, so I'm going to do it anyway. Graham Souness, the former Liverpool and Scotland footballer, was born on the same day and in the same city as... Do you know this one, Matt? On the same day and in the same city as which British Prime Minister? Oh, does Patrick not know it? Or is he...
I think I know, but
he's being a gentleman.
Give first turn.
I'll belatedly have a go. Graham Souness.
Graham Souness.
Prime Minister. Gordon Brown.
That's the obvious answer to go for, but I'm afraid it's incorrect. It's Tony Blair. And bizarrely, I met Souness the other month, and we're talking about him using that. He said, yeah, I'll try to keep that quiet now, any connection with Tony Blair. But he thinks it might even be the same hospital. He said he's been trying to track it down. He's in 1953, 6th of May 1953, in Edinburgh. There were only two maternity units, and he's pretty sure that he and Tony Blair were born in the same hospital, never mind the same city.
I was born in the same hospital in the same year as David Beckham. We're so often confused.
Let's have a look at how the scores are looking. So currently, in what we'll call bronze... position. Is Esther's got 4. Mark has got 4.5. And Patrick has got...
You can't count them, there's so many.
11.5. So... all still to blame for.
Well, I'm glad that the man who does the parliamentary sketch on The Times is actually winning this political quiz. It's
all still to blame for, as we we'll be back after this short break.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Times Red Box podcast. We are talking trivia with Esther Webber, Mark Mason, and this is Patrick Kidd, who is currently in the lead.
Well,
your
yes.
Turn to ask a question.
Okay, let's give you one. Let's get back in. The predecessor of which well-known, though currently mute, inhabitant of Parliament now works at St Paul's Cathedral?
Oh, I like a cryptic one. Say that again.
The predecessor of which well-known, though currently mute, inhabitant of Parliament now works at St Paul's Cathedral.
We're not talking choir boys.
Come on, you both really need the point. So.
Yeah, I just went. Is it something to do with the choir? Is it? I'm thinking that no, Alistair Cook was a choir boy.
It's a musical connection, perhaps.
Mute. Currently mute. Esther.
He goes like the clappers.
you're both not thinking about it. I thought when he asked it, and I did see this when he sent me the questions. I thought this was quite an easy one.
When you know the answer, you'll think, ah, that rings a bell.
Clappers. Oh, ring to the ringing the bell. Oh, Big Ben. And yeah. Is it Big Ben?
It's Big Ben.
Big Ben, well done.
The previous bell was called Edward of Westminster and was taken to St Paul's Cathedral by Christopher Wren. Who rebuilt the clock tower.
And Great Paul, which is now... everyone thinks the Big Ben is the biggest in the country. It wasn't. It isn't. Great Paul at St Paul's is the biggest. It was built at the same foundry in Loughborough that built the bell on AC/DC's Back in Black album, that Hell's Bells starts with.
Well, you could have another one for that.
I'm trying to catch up here.
Right, Esther, you need a stinker.
Okay.
With lots of supplementaries.
This one does have a supplementary. Which current shadow cabinet minister previously unseated her opposite number?
Well, the first thing you've got to do here, Patrick, is try and think of the name of somebody in the shadow cabinet.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to now forget her name, but it's the person who beat Esther McVeigh in Wirral West.
That's correct.
Who is now opposite her as shadow work and pension secretary.
Do you know her name?
Is it Margaret Greenwood?
It is.
Oh, well done.
There's a supplementary.
Come on. Oh, come on, Esther. You can still pull this back.
And what is the previous occasion on which this has happened?
Who were the
players?
That's a really tough one.
Are we going back decades, or is it within the recent?
A couple of decades, yeah. Ooh. 80. Hang on, no.
I think you're going to have to tell us, Esther.
Yeah, you've got the point.
Theresa May shadowed Margaret Hodge. Who had defeated her in the 1994
Balking Bill election.
Very good.
That's fantastic knowledge.
That's terrific knowledge.
Right, I'm going to do a president one. We haven't had much American presidents. For several days after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, at least 24 Americans remained unaware that the president had been shot. 12 of them were in Long Island, New York, the other 12 in Blountville, Tennessee. They were all engaged in the same activity. Which activity? For several days after JFK's assassination, these 24 people, 12 in New York, 12 in Tennessee, didn't know.
Was it an early Love Island?
Was it something to do with, like, some construction project?
12 would suggest they were on a jury.
Oh, he's good. Oh. You see, that some was my final chance of getting within striking distance of him, and he's just... Yes, because
they were locked away, were they?
They were both in the middle of murder trials, and the judges in both cases said if they found out the president's been shot, they're going to be more likely to convict someone of murder. So they had to be spirited away to hotel rooms. As usual, you know, the newspapers were kept away, but every taxi driver, every bellboy, everybody they were going to come into contact with was under strict instructions not to tell them that JFK had been shot.
Wow.
So, and imagine what your reaction several... You thought it surprising when you heard the news in real time, but several days later to find out that you'd not been told that your president had been killed.
Yes.
Incredible.
It's a bit like when they interrupted was it Celebrity Big Brother to tell... Because you know they're not meant to have access to the news. And they told them that we'd voted for Brexit.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. You can have that.
A bit more lowbrow.
And did anybody in the house know what that meant? Or...
We'd have to go back.
You'd have to go back and look at the archives. I mean, the Love Island would suggest that they're not on top of the detail of Brexit. I mean, we're not going to have any trees.
I got chatting to an old Daily Express journalist once who said he would always remember where he was when Kennedy was killed because... He was in a poker school. He bunked off the office to go and play poker, and the news came through from the office saying the president had been assassinated. We need you to come back and write 1,000 words on who is Lyndon Johnson. And he says, I was really furious because I had three kings in my hand at the time. OK, here's my one, which you can both guess at. This is an open-ended one. Should we just say who gets closest, maybe, on this? There are 650 MPs. How many of them can actually sit down on the green benches, assuming that they're of moderate girth and don't sit on each other's laps or the floor?
I'm going to say, my guess is 400.
I've got a memory of it being in the 400s, I think. I remember a piece about this a while ago. Go on, what's
the
answer?
Well, you're saying 450,
I'm going for.
Ooh.
Oh, well, that was time up, but let's find out what the answer to this is.
Well, if you're guessing 400 and you're guessing 450... By two, you win it, because the number I've seen is 427.
That's a very specific number. Has someone got a figure for the average width of someone's
width
backside?
Width of an MP, not including Eric Bibb.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Is that an average bottom or an MP's bottom?
Which version of Nick Soames are we going for? Are we going for Nick Soames for about 5 years ago?
That is the number of what I saw written down on the internet somewhere.
So I'm afraid we've nearly run out of time. Do you all want to do one last bonus question, your toughest, stinkiest question that you've got?
Okay.
Esther, you go first.
I'm just going to do a fun one then.
Go on then.
So, the words of the artist Stormzy are now in Hansard, thanks to which MP?
Fabulous.
Stormzy. It's got to be someone naff. It's got to be one of those naff Lib Dems that's tried to appear trendy by quoting
well,
Stormzy.
That's Tim Farron.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tim Farron.
That would require to turn up to the house, of course.
As much as I would have liked to see Tim Farron recite Grime, no, it's his... It's the local MP of where he's from, which is Sarah Jones, the MP for Croydon.
Very good.
Actually, we have just sadly brought back memories of Tim Farron's version of the John Barnes rap during the election. Do you remember that on the bus? That is a moment of shame that man should be not just deselected for, but shot for, I think. It was just an atrocious... And it was, as well as just being embarrassing, you know, a dad trying, a dad dancing sort of thing, and or dad rapping. It was actually quite shameless. He was trying to appear trendy by latching on to John Barnes' rap in the middle of World in Motion. And it was just really naff. It was horrible.
Well, I think there's always a risk in trying to appear down with the kids by singing the rap from a song which is 20 years ago.
Yeah, and also I don't think the John Barnes rap was ever exactly down with the kids.
You weren't there in 1990.
Which member of the cabinet claims to be a fan of Grime?
It's got to be Matt Hancock.
It is Matt Hancock. Exactly
right. I like your claims to be in there.
He wrote a piece. I don't want to cast any doubt. He wrote a piece for Red Box about his love of Grime, I'm not in any way suggesting that that piece was anything other than absolutely copper bottom true.
Yeah, which email address did it come from? Yeah. His researcher's email address. I'm going to go for, again, because this is a nice little insight into the person, because there's a white cinema at the White House, and they've kept a record of which films have been watched by which president. Lyndon B. Johnson, the movie that he watched most often during his time in the White House was a documentary about which US president? And he watched it something like 12 times.
FDR.
Patrick.
Washington.
No. Matt?
Oh, I didn't realise I was... I don't want to sound like I wasn't totally listening to the question.
Which president?
I was going to say Washington, if there was...
No, the answer is LBJ. He watched a documentary about himself 12 times, which I think says an awful lot about a man. You know a lot about someone when you learn that fact about them.
Right, my final one. Which member of the current shadow cabinet said that being an MP is a job that all working class parents want for their children because, quotes, it's clean, indoors, and there's no heavy lifting?
Again, I refer the House to the Honourable Gentleman Matt Chorley's comment earlier, we need to know someone in the shadow cabinet. Is it one of the big hitters?
Angela Rayner?
Nope.
I'm going McDonald.
Diane Abbott?
Nice.
Well, Patrick, well, it seems only fit and proper that you get the last point of the game. So the final scores in this political trivia contest. Esther has got 7. Mark has got 9.5. And Patrick has got 15.5. So not quite the total of the other two put together, but very close. Right, before we go, Mark, tell us all about your quiz books.
Yes, well, the last one was Question Time, which features Patrick Kidd winning a quiz hosted in Parliament by Matt Chorley, parliamentary press card of a quiz. That's called Question Time. If anyone wants any more of this deeply intellectual trivia on Twitter, it's at WalkTheLinesLDN. One of my previous books is about London, so LDN at the end, at Walk the Lines LDN, or the website's theimportanceofbeingtrivial.com.
While we're plugging books, Patrick, you wrote a book basically on the trivia of the Times diary column.
I did a couple of years ago now. It's probably been remaindered and you can't find a copy. But yes, I wrote an anthology of the Times diary, which had its 50th anniversary in 2016.
I'll get started on my book about the relationship between crime and politics.
Very good.
By the way, it's just to plug Patrick's book rather than mine. It had the brilliant story about the possible derivation of Major Tom, the David Bowie character. Do you remember that, Matt?
No.
Which was...
Could John Major.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because his dad was Tom Major Ball, who was a circus performer. Have I got that right, Patrick?
I think so, yeah. I've forgotten.
And they think... Because he was from Brixton. John
well, it's
Major.
Too late. It's not going to make any difference to the outcome now. Mark, I've got to finally made it in. Hope you've enjoyed these basically pre-recorded summer specials. We'll be back when MPs return at the beginning of September, along with my morning email, which will be back. Sign up at thetimes.co.uk/redbox. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes on your Android device or wherever you get your podcast from. And do post reviews on iTunes because it might help with the made up chart that they've got. For now, my thanks to Patrick Kidd, Mark Mason and Esther Webber. For me, Matt Chorley, it's goodbye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.